Well, we are absolutely loving our summer of cricket. There's no question about that. And we have loved here on Summer Grandstand, crossing to our next guest in India while covering the Women's World Cup. But now he's here on our shores, BBC commentator Henry Moran. Welcome back to Summer Grandstand.
It's lovely to be with you both. And yeah, and having seen one England team struggling overseas, I thought I'd make a little bit more of a habit of it. I'm seeing another one, just a different part of the world. So there we go. And actually, I'm speaking to you from the England team hotel where the side have just arrived from Brisbane.
What's that? So tell us, Henry, what's the feeling there? Because earlier in the show, we spoke to a mindset coach, John Novak, who surprisingly said to us he thinks England are actually right now in quite a good spot and will really hit at Australia with their full force from day one of the Adelaide Test.
Well, I think there's certainly an argument to say that this pause to catch the breath that has been provided by the last few days is no bad thing for England, because they get the chance just to have a little bit of a break, have a little bit of time, if not away from the spotlight, because let's be perfectly honest, there is no time away from the spotlight on an Ashes tour, as they discovered everywhere they went in Noosa. Yeah. But it has given them a bit of a chance just to switch off from the intensity of the cricket. And look, we will only know if it was the right decision not to be in the nets for the course of the entirety of the gap, or whether they should have taken this break as they have done. But they have taken the break. They've reset. The England team have just arrived. They're in their tracksuits. They're milling around the hotel lobby. I can actually see Ben Stokes as we speak taking a selfie with one of the local staff here. And they look pretty relaxed. And look, England came to this trip knowing they needed to win three games to get the Ashes back. It's still the same equation, albeit there's a little less wiggle room. They've got to look at it like that. They've got no choice. They've got to fight back.
And Henry, I heard fellow ABC commentator Ali Mitchell, in terms of specifically this preparation question, describe it in her view as a mess. How do you read it?
Well, I think it's one of those things that you look back at the end of it and then you try and make a case and an argument to decide whether it was the right organisation or not. And look, England have made the decision that time in the middle is less significant than perhaps previous tours. But let's not forget, a lot of the conversations and a lot of the talk from those that have offered their opinions have come from people that have played in a very different generation. You go back to 1990, say, England played 17 different matches on their Ashes tour of Australia. You go back to 2010, they played a heapload of tour matches then. There was ODI series involved. It was a different world. Cricket doesn't work like that anymore. And also, let's not forget that Australian players do get the option of playing in the county championship when they can join one of the 18 counties far more easily than an England player can join one of the sides in the Sheffield Shield, just purely because of the numbers and how much opportunity there is. So England's tour, their preparation, how everything goes, will be judged at the end of this series. That's when people will say they got things right or they got things wrong. But we're desperate at all times to try and find a narrative to determine exactly what's gone wrong so far in the series and work out exactly what they haven't got quite right. We've seen what they haven't got right on the field. It's whether we can necessarily say that it's down to the preparation. They would say not. But I think it is fair to say that if you've got guys playing their first ever pink ball match in the spotlight of a Gabba Day night test, then there's certainly an argument to say they could have perhaps done a little bit more.
How, we know, Henry, that the tabloid press in England is famously generous and kind when it comes to English sporting team failures. How is this being taken back in England?
I think people are disappointed more than they are angry at the moment. I've just been chatting to a couple of England fans that have made their way to Australia for the Ashes, for their first trip out to Australia. And there was such expectation. I think that's the thing. And I think that people were really anticipating that England could give Australia a really good run for their money in this series. They may yet, but I think that was perhaps more of a feeling as opposed to anger, derision. That may come if they lose this series 4 or 5-0. Let's make no mistake about that. But I don't think it is quite the same vitriol that you might see in other series, perhaps. I think one thing that has been quite striking, and a number of English journalists and reporters and observers have noticed this, that I think the noise around the England team with the whole Bazball thing and this sort of narrative that actually the team themselves have tried to shy away from, that they're somehow recreating the game of Test cricket, is something that has seen Australian media almost celebrate English failure more than Australia's success. And that is quite an unusual position to be in. It feels almost as though seeing England falling in a heap has been more satisfying to Australian media than it has been to watch Australia succeed. And that is quite an interesting narrative that seems to be pervading the series more than perhaps at other times. And I think England have to cop that, because the fact that over the last few years they have played this new brand, they have played a different way, and it's a way of the game that they've been quite keen to try and extol the virtues of on account of how they've been approaching it.
If you were to summarise the tone and the focus, the emphasis of the English press, what's been the one thing that's, you know, got the most carriage? Because when I'm thinking of all the images, not to mention the words, you know, there's a Jofra Archer pillow, Jofra Archer necklace, there is, you know, Bazball, there is the weak men comment, there's the over-prepared, which is resonating and getting the most emphasis, not to mention the results themselves in England?
Yeah, I think there's been actually quite a degree of sympathy to some of the England team for how the attention has been in Australia. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, there was a certain sort of, it felt like they could do, you know, they could do nothing right with the Noosa trip, when there was the situation where, you know, one minute they're being criticised for not wearing their helmets when they were on scooters in Brisbane. Quite rightly, you need to be doing that. It's part of the law, and if nothing else, it's ludicrous not to be from a safety point of view. And then they were being derided for putting sunscreen on the beaches of Noosa, and you sort of think, well, you can't really win, but that's part of it. And, you know, touring sides in Ashes cricket know that you're going to face the intense heat and spotlight that comes from the media. And the British media will have done the same with Australia. We remember how Steve Smith and the side were treated in 2019 in the aftermath of the sandpaper story, and how they copped it from the English press and supporters on that tour. It is part of it. Whether it should be or not remains another matter. But, you know, I think the point that Alex Carey made to us here in Adelaide a few days ago is a really significant one, when he said, look, it's all well and good to look at England's preparation, see them taking time away, playing golf in Noosa, and think, well, why are they resting and not doing anything? And he said, well, look, we're lucky. We can go home and see our families. We've got that chance to step away from the bubble of it all. And so, you know, sometimes it is easy to think that the touring side is doing something different. But as he also pointed out, during the last Ashes series in 2023, the Australian team were heading off and doing their own thing between matches. He had his fishing rod with him. He went up to Edinburgh and had a little bit of a break between the games in Manchester and Leeds. So look, this is part of the deal of playing Ashes cricket. And I think that the side are well in it now. They're aware of it. They know the pressures. And the fact actually that the games come thick and fast from here on in could just help them. The question is, if they lose this one here, how hard will it be to even pick themselves up for the final two matches?
Indeed. The bad news for England, of course, is that our captain and arguably best player is coming back into this team to make it even stronger.
Indeed, yeah. And you've got the potential of Nathan Lyon most likely coming back in too. So you've got hundreds and hundreds of test wickets coming back into the side. But look, England knew whatever side they were playing in Australia was going to be filled with very, very good cricketers. Australia produced brilliant cricketers. That's part of the story. And I think Pat Cummins being part of the Australian side will make it a better spectacle. It'll make it a better contest in terms of the viewing public, because we want to see the best of the best playing. And Pat Cummins is unquestionably that. I think what's going to be really fascinating is to see how England approach things. Will they go a little more into their shell, as we saw Will Jacks do alongside Ben Stokes? Will they be uber aggressive on what should be the flattest surface of the tour? Do they double down on their approach? Do they try and rein it in a bit? It would be really interesting to see. But you know, Pat Cummins is brilliant, and we're going to love watching him bowl, and the series has been poorer without him being there. Look, Michael Neese has done fantastically well. Of course, Mitchell Starc has also, but it's going to be a real thrill to see Pat Cummins playing again, not least because he will bring that box office quality with the ball, and it'll add a little bit of extra spices if this series needed it.
What shifts would you predict we might see within the English team? They're known, I guess, for giving players extended runs in the side. What would you predict in Adelaide?
I think it's going to be very interesting to see how England line up. And it's one of those questions that a lot of people have been asking about the batting lineup. Do you see Ollie Pope come out, maybe throw in Jacob Bethel? Are we going to see Shoaib Bashir, this off-spinner that was pretty much selected 2 years ago because of this tour? Because he's got the extra bounce and the extra height. But so far, he's not had an opportunity. He's not bowled particularly well in the warm-up matches. So do England look to do that? I think it's quite likely we're going to see either Matthew Potts or Josh Tung come into the side in terms of seam bowling. That is a reasonably likely shift. How that all works, we'll have to wait and see. So I think bowling-wise, we're more likely to see changes than batting. But I think the interesting side of what we see from England is going to be the change of approach as opposed to the change of personnel. And that's where we keep our eyes firmly focused. So that's going to be the key for England. Whether they make the changes to the 11, that will remain to be seen. We'll either find that out on Monday or at the toss on Wednesday morning.
Indeed. Well, BBC cricket commentator Henry Moran, I know you're in the team hotel there in Adelaide. Does this also mean, Henry, that when the team went to Noosa for 5 days, you were forced as part of your job to also go to Noosa for 5 days?
Sadly, no. That particular treat did not befall us. We've been setting up here, getting ready here in Adelaide and experiencing the joy that is Adelaide Oval and the sights and the sounds of the Torrens River. So, no, we weren't there with the England team. We were following from afar and getting reports from colleagues. But it's one of those things that, the team have had their break and they've had their chance to reset. We've been resetting as well, albeit with perhaps a little less sound on our flip-flops. Sorry, thongs. I've got to get that right.
On your thongs, that's right. And while you're in Adelaide, you have to have a pie floater, Henry. Have you ever spoilt yourself with one of those?
Well, this is, it is one of these great treats of coming to this country is you get to see these brilliant parts of the world. Noosa has not been on the list this time, but all accounts suggest that it's somewhere that we've got to visit when we're next in town.
Indeed. Well, Henry, it is a pleasure as always, and please enjoy the Adelaide test.
We're looking forward to it, and we'll speak when it's 2-2.